Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you didn't catch that first segment, Brian Lesprin from Fen Valley Winery, that guy knows his grapes, man. And matching up a little bit of red wine with beef is a fun thing to do. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the beef now that we got the wine out the way. But, you know, when we walk up and down the meat counter, there's a lot of different cuts out there. And there's pros and cons to each one of them. I think one of the things that you can judge a cut on is by the cost. Not always does that make it better, but it often becomes part of your decision-making process. So we'll try to talk a little bit about that as we move through this as well. But this segment, Bob, we were going to do tri-tips and flat irons.
You know what I discovered when I was in California? That is a huge cut of meat out there.
Which one?
Tri-tip. Okay. It's like tri-tips out there are like maybe a ribeye out here that's just a huge. First of all, one of the misnomers is that, you know, barbecue isn't big in a lot of places like California. Barbecue is huge in California. I saw more barbecue restaurants there than I would have ever imagined. I mean, they were like everywhere. And I don't know if that's a recent occurrence or what, but I do know that those people out there are grilling freaks. Everybody grills. Most of them grill 4 or 5 nights a week, I guess because they can.
Right. I would. Yeah. I mean, if it's nice out 340 days a year, yeah. Why wouldn't you be out in your backyard cooking? Absolutely.
Perfect place to make the mess, right?
Yeah.
The wife likes it. You have to do the cooking.
Yeah. And she doesn't clean up a mess.
But tri-tips are a big deal out there, and there's lots of different ways you can do a tri-tip. If you have a smoker, you're probably apt to smoke it, just because it's got some fat in it, but it's the marbled fat in the meat. It's not
on the surface like maybe a
brisket
would be.
It's not on the side. It's not, you know, it's not globs of fat or a fatty coating. It's in the grain, so I think if the particular animal was fattened properly over a long period of time, it's going to have a nice moderate level in it, but it'll never have too much, so you have to be really careful when you're cooking a tri-tip.
And you're careful because, what, two things? One, it'll cook quicker and it'll dry out?
Well, I don't know that it'll cook quicker, but I worry about it drying out. You can't apply massive heat. It's not the type of meat you're going to want to sear. You could sear a little bit if you're grilling it, but you're going to want to go pretty quickly to indirect cooking. And, you know, I've been studying this stuff for a long time, but I'm still learning so much. It's amazing what you form an opinion or you pick up somebody's advice and you just run with it over time, even if it's wrong. You just think you're right because that's what you're doing. But I'm coming to understand that the searing does not really cauterize the tissue to the effect that I've always believed it did. What I'm learning is that the searing actually is more for flavor than for sealing. And you got to be careful when applying too much high heat to a piece of meat. You want to brown it to somewhat seal it, but You want to slow cook it to a certain extent, especially a tri-tip, because you'll overcook the outside trying to cook the inside, if that makes sense.
And that's because it's a thick steak. You've heard of ball tip sizzlers.
But it's because
it's in that same area.
It's because it's a lean piece. There's not a lot of moisture in it. So what you'll do is you'll make the outside dry. You know, in my opinion, it's more the leanness of it that you're going to screw up more so than and the thickness certainly comes into play. That has to do with how long you have to do it. But the problem with the high heat on the outside is that stuff will dry up so quickly. It doesn't matter how you slow it down to get the middle cooked. You've already ruined the outside, I guess, is my takeaway on that.
Okay. All right.
And I've done it.
Sure.
To tri-tips.
So let's pivot to the flat iron. Because now a flat iron, does that mean that's a flat, thin steak?
That's a beautiful pivot, by the way.
Thanks, man. Thanks. That's a radio term.
Oh, flat iron's a great. That's a, what a way to pivot. I don't know how they ever came up with that name. We should have a butcher on here to explain that. But it is a.
Do we know one?
It's a different cut of meat. That's for sure. Depending on the butcher you go to, your flat iron could be cut in many different ways, and they may or may not leave that collagen on there. And the first time I had it, the collagen was on it. And if it's got the collagen, which is a fatty, weird, gelatinous structure that surrounds that flat iron, if it's on there, you need to score that steak in a diamond shape, about an eighth of an inch thick, 1 inch wide pieces, because when you grill that, it's going to blow up like a puffer fish.
Right, right.
And if you don't score it, it'll be a giant meatball. It will literally look like a puffer fish.
When that collagen is on there.
Yeah.
If it's not on there, then it tends to not do it's, that.
You're just grilling a steak.
Right.
It's extremely lean.
Right.
But a beautiful chuck flavor in it. It comes from the chuck front end of the animal. So it's got that awesome chuck. I mean, you
real make, hearty beef flavor.
You make them.
Right. Exactly.
Describe and, it.
Well, it's savory. It's probably one of the most savory flavors of meat on the animal. And then when you get it done, I mean, a lot of people, a flat iron, you'll think of like fajita steaks, right, where you're going to cut that thing on the bias. And what that means is you're, rather than cutting it straight down at a 90-degree angle, roll your knife over at a 45 and cut across the meat and across the grain.
So you're saying it reminds you of a skirt steak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so much smaller, though, but it is very lean. If you cut all the collagen off there, no matter what, you're going to have a little tougher piece of meat.
Right.
Whether the collagen's on it or not. If it's properly trimmed, it's going to be very thin, very small, but you're right, it's still going to be a little tougher.
And you can add a little moisture to those. You know, we're big fans of extra virgin olive oil. You'll hear us refer to that as EVO from time to time. Our friends at the Old World Olive Company, if you've never been to their store, you really, and you enjoy cooking, you really need to go, because they have a huge variety of EVOs that are infused with flavors.
Right, and they've got like eight of them around the state, so you should be able to find one.
Yeah, Old World Olive Company. But
so tri-tips, back to the tri-tip just briefly. If you don't have a smoker and you're going to cook it on your grill, what you need to do is I would bring it out and set it on a cutting board, and I would absolutely bury it in sea salt, coarse ground sea salt. I would coat the heck out of it and let it sit on the counter for about 2 hours.
Right.
And then rinse it off, put whatever, I'd probably put some oil on at that time, then put whatever peppers or aromatics on you're going to do, and then give it a light sear and put it over to the indirect side and bring it up to an internal in the thickest part of no more than 135, the thickest part.
Right. That's going to, and the reason that is, that's your medium rare, that thickest part. The thinner parts are going to cook a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about that salting game. Are you going to bury your steak in salt or just lightly salt it? And we're going to give you a few tips on that, as well as we might do a little strip tease. So stick with us. We'll be back.